Now this morning, I want to invite your attention to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 42. We shall begin reading after we pause for just a moment in a word of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, as our Bibles are opened before us, and as our hearts have been opened by the Holy Spirit, we beseech Thee that Thou wouldst look with love and mercy upon us, and in the moments of the reading of Thy Word and the preaching of the Gospel, help us to take inventory of our hearts and of our lives as we draw near to the conclusion of this wonderful year, with all of its fears and frustrations, with all of its reverses and critical moments, yet we rejoice because Thou hast been with us and Thou hast brought us through. May we draw upon that resource of grace today, even in this hour, for those who need the Savior, may they trust Him this morning. For those who need the fellowship of the church, may they come today and identify themselves with this body of believers. And for those, Heavenly Father, who need a prayer of courage and strength, may they find what they desire and what they seek about an altar of prayer in this house on this last Lord's Day of this year. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Beginning at verse 42 in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is speaking, and the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." And here's my text, the last part of verse 48. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's read that again, the last part of verse 48. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." When we were growing up as children in school, one of the most familiar phrases was this: the three R's of education: reading, writing, and arithmetic. How many of you ever heard that phrase? Let's see your hand. Well, they used to say it out in the country schools, most of you from the city. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. And they just about basically cover the foundation for an education. To be able to read and write, and at least to add if you can't subtract, multiply, nor divide. This morning, I want to draw a parallel from those three R's in secular education to the three R's of our Christian learning and our Christian life. And I want to talk to you about the three R's of Christian service: relationship, resource, and responsibility. We shall consider these as we think along these lines: life in three dimensions. The first dimension is summed up in that word relationship. It has been my experience in the short years of my ministry to have been called upon to go to the graveside, to lower into the Mother Earth someone who had lived and died apparently without too much association with others. I have buried those who had not a son or daughter, brother or sister, mother or father, aunt or uncle, to accompany them to their final resting place. And what a tragedy it is to live and die and at the last moments have not one relationship. How many of us have read in the papers and seen on the television as the news goes out a little child who has been abandoned by its parents, left in a cold and uninviting world without anyone to claim kinship with it? And that is a tragedy. But beloved, this morning, a greater tragedy is a man or woman, boy or girl, who is not in the right relationship with God. And the only way for us to have the right relationship with God is to be acquainted with His Son. And the only way to be acquainted with His Son is to trust Him as your own personal Savior and sacrifice and substitute for sin. I've quoted it so many times. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What a relationship is ours today, to know that God has claimed us, that God has loved us, that God has redeemed us in the blood of His Son. That He has made a way for us by adopting us into His family. And Paul writes, we have not received the spirit of fear and bondage, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, which is to say, Father. Isn't that a happy expression? To know that we can go to someone and say to them, Father. But happier and more solid and more firm and more secure than all the earthly relationships of father and son is the relationship that we enjoy with God. No wonder Jesus taught His disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. But while He is in heaven in the person of His Spirit, He is not very far from any of us. Say, let me ask you this morning, are you enjoying the privileges of relationship to God? Have you trusted His Son, and have you been a partaker of the divine nature We are all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a relationship. What a fellowship, what a joy divine is ours to know that when we pray, we are not praying to one who is far removed and unconcerned, but we are praying to a loving Heavenly Father who knows and understands. And his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I am in his family. Can I put it this way? I believe with all of my heart and soul this morning that as a born-again believer and a child of God, that God is obliged to take care of me because I am his own. And sandwiched between that word relationship, that first R and the last R, is that word resource. And because we are in the right relationship with him, great is the resource. And my text talked about those people to whom much is given. You know, we ought not to expect too much from the underdeveloped countries of the world and the uncivilized nations of earth. But of all the nations of earth that ought to have much required of it, it is our country. For I can think of no nation under the shining sun that has been blessed like the United States of America. To whom much is given, much is required. Say, don't you think that somehow in the economy of God with man, that the very city in which we live and work has a whole lot required of it? This is a city of churches. This is a city of schools. And in this area, Dallas and Fort Worth, per capita, I do not suppose that there's any section in all the United States that has more churches and more church-related schools. And I dare say that there has been as much gospel preached in this city as any city that God ever allowed his son to shine on. Well, much is given, much is required. Now let me bring it down just to where we live. Now there's nobody here but us this morning. The rest of them are sick. Or they're out of town. There's nobody here but us today. Hasn't God given you a whole lot, mister? Mother, hasn't God given you a great deal? Daddy, hasn't God been good to you? Hasn't God given you the resources of heaven and the resources of grace? Grace that covers all our sin. Grace that is greater than all of our failures. Grace, marvelous grace. Unsearchable are the resources of God to usward. And just how much God has given us, that's how much God's going to require of us. I read it to you from the words of Jesus. And God has given so very much. He has given unto us a Savior. And what more shall we ask? What more can he say than to you, he hath said, to you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? What could God give more to us than his own darling son? Say, is there a man here this morning who would be willing to sacrifice your son for a good cause? You know, we just take for granted God has given his son, but what a precious gift. The darling of his bosom. The expression of his person. his own equal, the jewel of the glory world. God has given to us Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He has given to us the Scripture. You know, when a loved one is away from home, you always look for a letter to come back, don't you? And when you don't get it, you're so disappointed. Jesus went away, but he didn't leave us with a disappointment. He has written us a letter, and it tells us about his love. And it tells us about his grace and mercy and kindness and his plan and program for our lives. You see, God's book has got your name in it, mister. You mean that, preacher? I sure do. I believe that every believer can find God's will in the pages of God's Word. He's given us the Scripture. A woman went to see her doctor once, a very eminent physician, and she listed out all the symptoms. And the doctor thought she had everything. But it turned out she didn't have anything. And after he had considered all of her symptoms and had given her thorough examinations, he found out that there was nothing organically wrong with her. And he said, lady, I'm going to give you a prescription. Anything, doctor, anything. He said, lady, I want you to, for the next 30 days, I want you to read your Bible 1 hour a day. Oh, she was all but furious. At first. But then she decided, well, I have nothing to lose. And so for 30 days she read the Bible for 1 hour a day. Of course, this was before the days of radio and television and streetcar and spaceships, because we don't have time now. But she read her Bible for 1 hour every day for 30 days, and she went back to a doctor, and the smile of health was on her face. And she said, doctor, it worked. You don't have to tell me. He said, I see it on your face. And pointing to his own Bible on his own desk, he said, if I neglect that book for one day, I have lost the source of my strength. God has given us the Scripture. God has given to us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to console us, to teach us, to direct us, to help us over these rough places and uneven ridges of life. We have been given the assurance that all of our needs will be supplied. Paul puts it this way, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have been given, and I think this is important, we've been given a cause for which to live. Take away the cause for a man to live, and he dies. Is there not a cause? There is. The cause of Jesus Christ. The cause of lost humanity. This is our cause for which to live. What a resource. Oh, God has not cheated us, has he? God has not brought us up on the short end of the stick. He's given us a cause for which to live, and a cause by which to die. He has given us the assurance of heaven when we die. Brother Jerry Hogue used to come in and sit down on about the third or fourth pew every Sunday. You know, he was here to help me open the door almost every Sunday morning. And he walked most of the time. He had a warm place in his heart for the gospel. So when I stood in Shannon's chapel yesterday, I didn't stand with any hesitation. I didn't stand stuttering. I said to his family and to the host of friends that were gathered, today Jerry Hogue is resting in the arms of Jesus. Not because he was a member of Worth Baptist Church, though he was. Not because he was a good daddy, though he was. Or a good husband. Or a good neighbor. But because one day Jerry Hogue recognized that he was a sinner, and he opened the door of his heart and let Jesus come in. And I could give them this word, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. What a resource. And what shall I say finally about the third dimension? Responsibility. Someone asked Daniel Webster, what is the most astounding and the most permeating thought that you've ever had? And he must have had a whole lot of thoughts, because we have our dictionary that's called Webster's. And here's what he answered. My personal responsibility to God. We are responsible to Him who has brought us into this relationship and has given us all this resource. Needless to say, responsibility goes hand in hand with relationship. Parents, your children are responsible to you, because they're yours. Believers, we are responsible to God because we're His. And what does God require? I believe God requires an undivided heart. A heart that is wholly and completely and fully surrendered to Him. Not a heart that beats for the world through the week and for Christ on Sunday, but an undivided heart. God requires a dedicated life. God requires an active service. There's so many inactive Christians. My class secretary said to me this morning, we've got 47 inactive members in our class. God demands an active service. God demands and requires a faithful stewardship. You know, it's coming close to the end of the year. Some people who are honest all year long lie to Uncle Sam at the end of the year. Why should it be that way? But you better be careful. They're checking them closely. But if we've been faithful with God, we don't have to be careful. Just put down what we've done. And don't try to make Uncle Sam think that we've done something that we haven't done. Oh, I know I'm talking in terms of dollars and cents, but what about the stewardship of time and talent? To whom much is given, much is required. Responsibility. I believe as a Christian that you are responsible to the services of the church. I believe as a Christian you are responsible for soul winning and witnessing and serving Christ through the ministry of His church. If that is not the case, then we'll take down our sign and go out of business. We are individually responsible. And God requires much of us because He's given much to us. What about the three R's of your life? Do you have the right relationship? Have you acknowledged the resource from which you draw every day? The air you breathe belongs to God. The ground upon which you walk belongs to Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Our body and spirit are His. What about that last R? Are you meeting? Have you met? In 1967, your responsibility as a believer, as a Christian, as a church member. I fear that with some, we may have left the Lord on the outside. Perhaps this little poem will help you to think about getting Him into your life in the place where you left Him. Listen to it. Turn back to where you left Him. And you will find Him there. He's waiting by the bedside where you used to kneel in prayer. He's standing in the chapel by that long abandoned pew. He stands by your forsaken place where the laborers are so few. You are older, sorer, broken. You are tired of self, 'tis true. But return to where you left him. You'll find him waiting there for you. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that thou hast given us a relationship to thee. We thank thee that thou hast given us a resource upon which to draw that is inexhaustible. We thank thee that thou hast given us responsibilities in our service for thee. May we never shirk our duty. May we never look lightly upon our responsibility, but may we rise to meet the challenge as we end this year and begin a new one to make these the best days of our Christian experience. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving. And while our heads are bowed for just a moment or two, on this, say, has it dawned upon you? Listen to me. 365 days. You remember the beginning of 1967? Some of you sat right there on that pew at the first Sunday. While you meditate in prayer, boys and girls, will you pray? Young people, mothers and daddies, let's all pray. Let's all reverence God in the house of the Lord in this moment. You remember when you stood or sat on that place last year and you said, I'm going to be resolved to serve God better in 1967? And I'm going to be resolved to put God and Christ and the church first in my life? Well, let me ask you, have you done so? Can you end the year by saying, I have done my best? Or can you not see in your own experience? Can we not all see in our own experiences where we've left a little responsibility here and there? Used to sing in the choir, yeah. Used to visit. Used to come on Sunday night and used to go to prayer meeting. Used to tithe. But the responsibility, you've still got the relationship and the resource. But the responsibility. Used to talk to people on the job about Jesus. Well, I don't mean to make a spectacle or a fool of yourself. Don't misunderstand me. But you used to be a sparkling witness. When people saw you, they said, "There, you know, he used to not be that way. He's so different now." Oh, what are they saying today? Responsibility. 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 Turn back. He's waiting where you left him. That place by your bed where you used to kneel in prayer, he's waiting there. 1967 has come and gone. And would you believe that there are many Christians who have never once knelt about this altar of prayer in the year of 1967? It seems to me that all of us would have had something to pray about or pray for, but some have not. Turn back and find him where you left him. While no one looks on, I wonder if there are those who would say, "Preacher, I've never found him. I've never trusted him as my Savior. I'm lost, but I'm concerned." I want you to put your hand up and say, "Pray for me." Anybody like that this morning? I take it then on this last Sunday of 67, we're all saved. No one's lost. Are there those here this morning and nobody's looking but your pastor and God, and I want to help you, and you know that, and I'll never embarrass you or put you on the spot, and you know that. 6 years has already taught you that. I wonder if you'd say, "Pastor, in my own life, I'm speaking for myself now and for not for another, not for husband or wife or son or daughter or a fellow member or anybody else, but just for myself, I'm speaking. I've got the right relationship. I know what the resource is, but somehow on the third R, the third dimension, I just haven't been up to par. I want you to pray for me." Would you just put your hand up right now and say, "Pastor, yes, God sees the hand.
Oh, they're everywhere. Yes, God sees them this morning. You may put them back down. Maybe I've missed your need in your particular situation 10 million miles, but there is a need. And you'd say, Pastor, on this last Sunday of 1967, we may never end another year together. I don't know. I don't want to play on your sympathy, but I want us to face reality. This may be it for us. But whatever your need is, you'd say, Pastor, I have a spiritual need, and I have need for grace and strength for the battle and courage for the toil of the day. I wonder if you'd say a prayer for me. Just put your hand up. Yes, yes, all over. God sees it. God knows what the need is this morning. Are there those here who would say, Pastor, about my church membership? I don't want 1967 to end and I'm out of church and I'm not in touch with the fellowship of a church, and I'm concerned about it, and I want you to join with me and your people to join with me that I'd make the right decision about my church membership. Would you put your hand up and say, pray for me? Anyone like that this morning? As we stand together for our invitation, I'm going to ask that you remain with your heads bowed in prayer, and the choir is going to sing a stanza two of invitation. But just before they sing, and while our heads are yet bowed for prayer, Heavenly Father, bring to that place of decision those who need to come this morning, is our prayer in Jesus' name. For salvation, for a prayer of dedication, for a prayer to rise to meet the challenge of the responsibility to end out this year in prayer. For church membership, whatever it is, even now in Jesus' name. While we sing and while you remain in prayer.